Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Trawali Mechanochio Muta Oyuamid's Initiative. My name is Mrs. Michal Horowitz. We will continue our study today of Sefer Mishlei. We are up to Perek Chaf Hei. So, interestingly, Perek Chaf Hei introduces us to a new idea. Perek Chaf Hei Pasuk Aleph, Gam Eila Mishlei Shlomo. These are also the Proverbs of Shlomo, Asher He'etiku Anje Chizkia Melech Yehuda, that the men of Chizkia Melech Yehuda copied. So, what is this talking about? Steinzel's Ktuvim. The following sayings do not differ substantively from the previous collection of King Shlomo's Proverbs, although here one can more easily discern divisions into topics and links between the verses. It is possible that unlike the large central compendium of Proverbs, which was widespread and famous, this collection remained hidden until the time of King Chizkiah. What are we speaking about here? As a result of King Chizkiah's encouragement, the king of Yehuda, love of Torah and its study thrived during his reign. That is found in Sefer Divrei Hayamim Bet, Prakim Lamed through Lamed Aleph. For anyone who learned with me, we learned about this together in the first cycle of Nachyomi Torah Dimecha, a women's initiative, when I taught Divrei Hayamim Bet, which was mind-blowingly unbelievable. If you did not learn it with me, you could always go back to the Torah Dimecha app and find it. Highly recommend. Anyway, as a result of King Chizkiah's encouragement, love of Torah and its study thrived during his reign. The sages state that during that period, everyone loved and learned Torah, from the smallest to the greatest. Elsewhere, the Bible recounts other great projects undertaken by Chizkiah, such as the fortifications he built, the wars he waged, perhaps in an attempt to restore the borders of Israel to their location during King Solomon's days. Here in Mishlei, interesting, it is revealed to us that another project that occupied the men of King Chizkiah was the literary work of collecting ancient manuscripts. So interesting. So how does Perek Chaf Hei begin? Gam Eila Mishlei Shlomo. These are also the proverbs, the teaching, the wisdom of Shlomo, Asher He'etiku Anshei Chizkiah Melech Yehuda, that the men of the scribes of Chizkiah, the king of Yehuda, copied. So that is the introduction to this Perek. Now, Perek Chaf Hei Pasuk Beis. Kvod Elokim Haster Davar. The glory of God is concealing a matter. Ukvod Malachim, but the glory, the honor of kings, Chakor Davar, is to investigate a matter. What does this mean? Steinzel Ktuvim. God created the world without explaining its ultimate meaning. The universe has many hidden secrets, and so does God's Torah. These mysteries reflect His glory. Therefore, Kvod Elokim Haster Davar. A hidden matter is the honor of God. Rabbitson Kanievsky, Rabbitson Batsheva Kanievsky, Alal Sham, used to say, Darche Hashem kulam tovim velo kulam mivunim. The ways of God are all good, but they are not understood. Furthermore, it is quite famous that the world is called Olam. Olam is from the word Ne'alam, hidden. Why is this world called Olam? Because so much of the world, its workings, its purpose, its meaning, its goodness is hidden from us. Olam is from the world, is from the word Ne'alam, hidden. Ukvar melechim chakor davar, but it is the honor of kings to investigate matter. A mortal king needs to investigate the goings on in his kingdom, the well-being of his subjects, what's happening on his borders. Pasuk Gimel, Shamayim larum va'aretz la'omek. The heavens are so high, and the earth is so deep. V'leiv malachim ein cheker. But the heart of kings, there is no investigating the heart of kings. What does this mean? A king is the ultimate authority and responsibility for everything that happens in his kingdom. Even if he is not particularly great or wise, he presides over a government that is complex, since he must make the ultimate decisions in this difficult environment. The king has to take into account the needs, the desires, the claims, the opinions of all the various individuals and groups under his control. Such calculations are potentially endless. So for a person who lives their life and they're responsible for themselves or their family or their classroom, it's much less complicated, even though sometimes it's very complicated, than a king who is in charge of an entire kingdom. Shamayim lerum, the heavens are so high, va'aretz la'omek, the earth is so deep, va'leiv malachim, but the heart of kings ain cheker, there's no end to the considerations that a king must take into account when he's running his kingdom. Pasuk Vav, verse 6, al tis hadar lifnei melech, very important, u'bemakom gedolim al tamar, don't glorify yourself before a king, and in the place of giants, in the place of great people, do not stand. I think this is such an important piece of Musar. A person has to know their place. They have to know their strengths, their talents, abilities, and capabilities, but they also have to know their weaknesses. They have to know their place in society. They have to know their place vis-a-vis kings and honorable men. And in a place of great people, do not stand. So in other words, a person before their Rabbi or before their Rav or before the Gedolei Adar, they have to know who they are. Yes, of course, we are all important. Of course, Hashem put each one of us here to accomplish something in life. But a person also has to have the humility to know their place and to know their standing in society and before people greater than us. It's a sign of humility to know who we are, what we can do, what we can't do, and who is greater than us. Pasachas, al teitzei lariv. Ha ha, very good advice. Al teitzei lariv, pasachas. Don't go maher. Al teitzei lariv maher. Don't be so quick to run out to a quarrel. Sometimes you see people quarreling, you see people taking different sides. We need to calm down. We need to not be so fast to run to a quarrel. Pen ma ta'asa b'achrisa. Lest you become embroiled in the quarrel, what will you do at the end? V'hachalim osach re'echa. In the end, when your friend humiliates you, don't be so fast to run to quarrel. We should be like Aaron HaKohen, like Hillel tells us in Pirkei Avos, Ohev Shalom v'rodev Shalom, Ohev Sabrios v'mekarv on the Torah. Instead of running out to quarrels, because who knows what will happen in the end when you are humiliated, becoming embroiled in a fight, we should actually be running to, we should love peace, pursue peace, love people, and bring them closer to Torah. Pasuk Yud Beis, Nezem Zahav, V'chali kasem, mochiach chacham al ozin shama'as. Very, very interesting. Nezem zahav, a golden nose ring, v'chali chasem, an adornment of fine gold, mochiach chacham al ozin shama'as. Someone who rebukes a wise person. And when their ear is listening to your rebuke, this is a nose ring of gold and a fine golden adornment. In other words, someone who rebukes a wise person, someone who is wise will give their ear to listen to the rebuke. This is better than fine gold and fine jewelry, because it is a wise person who wants to hear rebuke, who wants to receive the chastisement, who wants to know the proper path upon which they can go. Pasuk Yud Dalet, verse 14. I want to talk about this a little bit. Nisim v'ruach v'gashem ayin. Ish mishalel b'matas shakar. A man who glories in a false gift is clouds and wind, but no rain. What does this mean? Steinzot's Ketuvim, and then I'm going to quote Rav Shamshon for Hirsch to Pirkei Avos. The presence of clouds and wind create an expectation for rain. And if it does not fall, people experience great frustration. Remember, we're talking about rain being a huge bracha, the first thing Adam davened for in the history of the world. The first tefillah that the first man uttered was for rain. Look at Rashi, Tiparashis, Perek, Beis, Pesach, Hey. Similarly, a great disappointment results when one announces with great pride that he intends to make a generous contribution to some important cause, but he fails to fulfill his word. So a man who glories in a false gift, in other words, you pledge to do something, you say you will give something, you pledge to undertake a certain program, and then you don't do it, it's no more than clouds and wind, but no rain. When there are clouds and wind, people are hopeful. They expect rain. Rain's a big bracha, mashu brocha marit glashem. That empty talk, pledging to do something and not doing it, is a man who glories in a false gift. Again, let's look at the pasuk again. Pasuk 14, pasuk Yedalet, I'm sorry, verse 14. Nesi'im v'ruach v'gashem ayin. Ish mishalel b'matas shaker. This reminds me of a teaching of Rav Shamshon Frau Hirsch to Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yedzayin. Shimon b'no Omer. Shimon, the son of Rabban Gamliel, said, Kol yamai gadalti b'nei chachamim, all my days I grew up amongst the sages, v'lo matzati l'guf tov mishtika, I found nothing better for the body than silence. V'lo hamidrash ikor ela hamayse, learning, study is not the most important thing, rather action. V'chol amar b'dvarim mevi chet, and anyone who increases words brings sin. So it sounds like Shimon, the son of Rabban Gamliel, is reminding us about the value of silence. Kol yamai gadalti b'nei chachamim, all my days I grew up amongst the sages, I found nothing better for the body than silence. And study is not the main thing, but rather action. Action, taking action when you learn something. Doing something is the main thing. Anyone who increases words brings sin. So I want to quote from Rav Shamshon Frau Hirsch, and he quotes and teaches us something very, very important. This is Rav Shamshon Frau Hirsch to Tehillim. Oh, Rav Shamshon Frau Hirsch to Mishlei. One is duty bound to make provision for the important things in life. but one must not talk much about them. Silence is the best policy. Let the speech of men and their discussion center on spiritual and moral concerns. We have to ask ourselves when we notice, what do we speak about with our family? What do we read online? What do we speak about with our friends? Let the speech of men and their discussion center on spiritual and moral concerns. Indeed, says Rav Hirsch, there is nothing more offensive than the pompous gusto with which men converse about the merits of food and drink. What would he say in society today where everything is supersized meat? As a matter of fact, there are limits to the usefulness of speech, even in the teaching and inquiry associated with things more unspiritual. So even when you're teaching and inquiring regarding moral and spiritual things, there are still limits to the usefulness of speech. Deeds and accomplishment count the most. Too much talk is always bad. Clarity and consciousness always are conducive to the desired end. Needless effusion of words weaken even the best taken point. And verbosity invites error and wrongdoing. Needless effusion of words weaken even the best taken point. And verbosity invites error and wrongdoing. Says Rav Hirsch, one of the worst, and this is why I was reminded, this pasuk of Mishlei reminds me of this commentary of Rav Hirsch. One of the worst consequences of profuse talk, however, is that people who have spoken long and much and zealously on behalf of a cause may persuade themselves that this constitutes action. One of the worst consequences of profuse talk is that people who have spoken long and spoken much and spoken zealously on behalf of a cause persuade themselves, convince themselves that their talk constitutes action. You don't need to do anything. You spoke so much about making a barbecue for a tzedakah cause. You spoke so much about doing the bike-a-thon for a tzedakah cause. You spoke so much about doing chesed, inviting someone to your home, giving tzedakah. You spoke so much about it. You don't need to do anything. Should a voice within them accuse them of being remiss in their concrete efforts for the cause? And all of a sudden, your Yetzer Tov comes out and says, wait a minute, is talk enough? You didn't actually do anything. You just spoke much about what you wanted to do. Should that voice arise within them and accuse them of being remiss in their concrete efforts for the cause, they will calm their conscience. They will tell themselves, they recall the enthusiasm and the brilliance with which they carried out the discussion of the matter. And it's so powerful. So if Shamsher follows the Tehillim commentary too. Why do I keep saying that? I'm sorry. I know why. Because when I taught Tehillim, I would quote from Rav Shamsher follows on Tehillim. This is commentary to Rav Shamsher follows to Pirkei Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud Zayin. One of the worst consequences of profuse talk is people who have spoken long and much and zealously on behalf of a cause persuade themselves that talk alone constitutes action. And should that voice arise within them and accuses them of being remiss in their concrete efforts for the cause, they calm their conscience. They recall the enthusiasm and the brilliance with which they carried out the discussion of the matter at hand. They convince themselves that talk is enough. Action is not important. Like the Mishnah says, Kol yamai gadalti b'nei chachamim v'lo matzati l'guftal mishtika v'lo amidrash ikra ela amaisa. All my days, says Shema ben Rabban Gamliel, I grew up amongst the sages. I found nothing better for the body than silence. And learning, study is not the main thing. Rather, doing, action, being proactive is the main thing. And talking too much about any cause will ultimately bring sin, and it will allow us to delude ourselves into thinking we have done something productive when all we have done is empty words. That is exactly what this pasuk here reminds me of. Pasuk Yedalet. A man who glories in a false gift is clouds and wind, but no rain. Says the Steinsaltz Ketuvim. Clouds and wind announce rain, and people expect rain, and they're excited for rain, and then it doesn't come, there's frustration. A similar disappointment results when one announces with great pride that he intends to make a generous contribution to some important cause, but he fails to fulfill his word. That's Mishlei, Perichav, Hey, Pasuk Yedalet. Moving on, that's really the Pasuk I wanted to focus on in today's shir. Pasuk Tes Zayin, also good advice. Dvash Masatza. If you found honey, only eat enough for your needs. Pentis ba'enu v'hake osa, lest you overeat. You stuff yourselves with the honey and you will vomit. You will expel the honey. What is Shlomo HaMelech teaching us? Everything in moderation. Dvash is good, honey is good, but only eat enough for what you need. Do not overeat, lest you vomit. Anything in excess is not good. Everything is good in moderation. Sweets are good. Honey's good. Have a piece of dessert, but don't have 10 pieces of dessert, because then you will vomit and you will become nauseous. And the same honey that was so sweet now becomes nauseating and disgusting to you. Pasuk Yud Zayin, Hokar Raglecha Mibesre Echa, Pen Yispa'aka Usine Echa. Interestingly, he tells you the same thing about relationships and friends. Let your foot be scarce in your friend's house, lest he be satiated with you and hate you. In other words, don't eat too much, don't visit too much, don't make yourself a ben baris by someone who's not interested in you. Visit him sparingly, lest he become full of you and he will come to hate you. Pasuk Yud Ches, verse 18, also about the power of words. Mefitz v'charav v'chetz shanun, ish oneh b're'ehu eid shakar. What is Solomon Melech telling us here? That a battering ram, a sword, an arrow, a sharp arrow, is someone who testifies falsely against his friend. Someone who bears false witness against his friend is no better than mefitz v'chara v'chetz shanun. A battering ram, a sword, and a sharp arrow. I see we're running out of time. I prepared a few more psukim. I really did want to focus on Pasuk Gedalet, which we did. Pasuk Chav Alvin Chav Bez is interesting advice. If your enemy is hungry, feed him bread. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. You would think, why should I do anything for my enemy? Shlomo Melech says, no. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. Why? Because Pasuk Chav Bez, Hashem will see your reward. You are raking coals upon his head, and Hashem will repay you. What does it mean, raking coals upon his head? He will feel shame when his enemy sustains him. And furthermore, Hashem Yishalem Lach, Hashem will see the goodness that you do, and Hashem will reward you. Pasuk Chav Dalet, an idea we have heard before. Tov Sheves Alpinas Gag. It's better to sit in the corner of a roof. May Ashes Midayanim Uveis Chaver. Better to sit in the corner of a roof alone than to live with a woman of strife in a comfortable house. And finally, Pasuk Chav Hey, Mayim Karim Al Nefesh Ayefa. Cold water on a weary soul, ushmua tova me'eretz merchak, is like hearing a piece of good news from a far land. Just like good news that is unexpected restores a soul, so too does cold water upon a person, on a tired person, on a hot day. I wish you a wonderful day. Be'ezer Hashem, we will continue tomorrow. Kol tov, and thank you to all.
Thank you, everybody, for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat and Le'zecher Nishmat, Rose Foreman, Rachel Rachel, Bat Aryeh Leib, and Rachel Zeitlin, Rachel Bat Shlomo. May the Neshamot have a liur in the merit of these Divrei Torah. I wish everybody a wonderful day.